I'll say yes when you wake me early in the morning. I'll say yes at the going down of the same. I'll say yes to your will. And I'll say yes to your way. I'll say yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time. Hey family, I want to introduce our newest broadcast that joined us in 2018, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One, hosted by Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. They will be addressing a wide range of topics that will serve to encourage you and to strengthen your marriage. So remember, that's every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Welcome, my brothers and sisters, as you join me again on this journey of self-discovery as we look at the importance of renewing our mind in the journey. Amen. This is Declaring the Finished Work broadcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Pat Randall, and you are listening on When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. Amen. So let's get started. Let us go before the Father. Amen. With thanksgiving and praise. Father, we praise you this day. We thank you. You are the Lord of all. We thank you for sending your dear Son, for giving him as a gift to us, the gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness. His grace and his truth is alive in the earth because you so love the world. And as we begin this broadcast, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in and have your way, that only the things that our Heavenly Father wants to be spoken into the earth will be spoken into the earth through this broadcast. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the anointing. It is your anointing that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. So have your way. I thank you that the weapons formed against us during this hour shall not prosper. There will be no interruptions. Glory to God, that the airways will open up and receive the word of God, which has the power to change lives, to deliver, glory to God, to bring rest to the weary heart. Hallelujah. Bring comfort to the brokenhearted, to uplift the downcast. I thank you. I thank you for the power of your word, that Jesus Christ is the word made flesh, hallelujah, that walked among us. Glory to God. Thank you for coming for us, Jesus. Thank you for laying down your life for us, that we might have life and life more abundant. That we would be free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, the name that is above every name. We praise you, Jesus, and we give thanks in your name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. So, if you've been following me over the past 10 weeks, you know that I've been on this topic of mind renewal. So today it is part 11. And at today we're going to be looking at the power of love. How the power of love is instrumental in this whole mind renewal process. I mean, God is love. So we know that love is a chief ingredient in our lives. The scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. Amen. So the guiding scripture for this whole series came out of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Let me stop. This is the Amplified Version. Amen. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Amen and amen. So in verse 2, it says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in brackets, it says, focusing on godly values. So in renewing your mind, what you're doing, you're focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. So I wanted to look at this word ethical. And ethical means relating to moral principles or the branch of knowledge dealing with these. So I like the part where it says the branch of knowledge dealing with moral principles. So this branch of knowledge has to be connected to the vine, because the vine is where we are going to get the true knowledge, not the knowledge of the world, but the true knowledge that can only come through Christ Jesus. And so our branch has to be connected to the true vine so that we are receiving the knowledge that deals with godly values. Because in order for us to truly know what God's values are, we have to be connected to the true vine. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to just touch on a few things that I spoke on last week. Last week's subtitle was Christ Jesus is Our Mirror. And actually what I am speaking on, continuing to speak on this week in this series, is just an offshoot from Christ Jesus is Our Mirror. Because as we look at the power of love, which comes through Christ Jesus, it is where we are looking. That is our focus. And so it is the source of where this love comes from. So Jesus Christ is our mirror. One of the things I said last week is that let me read the scripture first before I even start to make my share my notes on what I said about Jesus Christ being our mirror. I read the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, and this is also out of the Amplified Bible. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. I'm going to stop right there, because sometimes this is misinterpreted, what this freedom is and what this freedom looks like. Because it says, where the Lord is the Spirit, that's capital S, Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it further goes on to say, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. If we are interpreting freedom the way that the world interprets freedom, doing our own thing, and for some church ministries, it is an environment where, oh, I'm so free in grace, and I'm no longer under the law, and God is, he's already died for my sin, so I don't have to worry about sin anymore. And, but he died so that we would be free of the restraints of sin in our lives, from the death that sin brings into our lives. So Jesus came so that we would be free of this bondage. And when his spirit is present, it begins to break off those chains that are holding us to something that is actually destroying our lives. And we know that sin is death. It cannot bring life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, we begin to experience liberty from sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because he died. He died for the punishment, the judgment that was meant for our sins. He took that judgment and that punishment. That doesn't mean that sin is gone in our lives, because we can still practice sin. And if we practice sin, we are not believing Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And we have not fully surrendered our lives if we're practicing sin. Now, we all know that in this process of growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, that we are all committing sin. Sin that we don't even recognize that sin, but the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will reveal to us. And so we move through a process where it is evident that there's something that we are participating in that is a sin before God. We're sinning against God. And we work through that process with the Holy Spirit. We allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us and free us from this bondage of whatever this sin is. But then there's more. There's more. And so this process of freeing us is exposing the works of the enemy, because it all began with the planting of the enemy in the Garden of Eden. And through the renewing of our minds, truth coming into our minds, God's truth coming into our minds and being meditated upon, and allowing it to be the light that orders our steps, we begin to see things as they truly are. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This glory that comes from the Lord, he's transforming us into his image from glory to glory. And it comes from the Lord, it comes from him, our Lord and Savior. So beholding him as in a mirror, we begin to see who we are, because we begin to see ourselves as we are seen. A statement that I made is that we become what we look at the most. We become what we look at the most, and we have to train our minds to be set, to be set on Jesus. Glory to God. Looking away from all the things that can distract us. And there are plenty of things in this world that can distract us. But looking away from it and setting our eyes on him. Setting your mind's eye. Not your physical eyes, but your mind's eye, setting it on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of faith. And so the more we look at him, hallelujah, the more we are transformed. We're transformed. Amen. So when you look, when you use life as your mirror, are you seeing that you're not enough, or your mistakes and your shortcomings and your sins are before you? Are you seeing failure? Are you seeing the unlovely? You're seeing shame, you're seeing guilt, you're seeing insecurity, fear, and lack. Those are the kinds of things that you can see when you're looking at life as your mirror to identify who you are. The world cannot tell us who we are. Only the one who created us can tell us who we are. And since we're being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus, then that's where we need to be looking. That's where our focus needs to be. Another point that I made is that we can end up being stuck in our lives because we are depending on our performance. We live in a world that is performance-based, and in a lot of church environments, it is also performance-based. We are focusing on what we do. Our performance can make adjustments to our outward behavior, but it doesn't really change our hearts, because out of our hearts is where the issues of life pour forth. What's in our hearts. And we can change our behavior without actually changing our hearts. And it's not a transformation, because we can struggle with this thing. We can have it suppressed for a while and we're not doing this particular behavior, and then it crops up again. And we're always being tempted by it. And these temptations show up in different forms and catching us off guard. And then we fall for it, and then we realize that, wait a minute, I'm back where I started from. Because we are operating out of our performance. We are allowing the flesh to get involved in the process. Transformation can only take place in the spirit realm. And I was led to pull out James chapter 2. In that chapter, it talks about faith being dead without works, right? And this has been used as a performance scripture because a lot of times the way it's being taught, the perspective is one of performance. So now I've got to prove my faith by what I do. And that's a different perspective than abiding in the true vine. And everything that flows forth is flowing out of the true vine into the branch, amen, and producing fruit. In that chapter, I believe it's John 15, it talks about that, you know, in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. That it has to come through God, and we continue to look to ourselves for something, and we continue to be disappointed in ourselves because we cannot do it. Okay, let's look at James chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Let's change that word works to fruit. To fruit, because it helps us put it in the right perspective, that as a branch in Christ, that we should be fruit producing. If we're not fruit producing, or if we're producing evil fruit, then that means we're not connected to the true vine. We're connected to something that is false. So let's look at the word faith. Faith in Hebrews 11:1 is described as, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this Greek word pistis, which is faith, means to trust, to have confidence, faithfulness, to be reliable, to assure. And the faith that James is speaking about is faith in God, because you can have a faith in a lot of things. You can have faith in yourself. You can have faith in your job. You can have faith in some person, you know, and looking to them as the source. But if your faith is in God, amen, which means you trust him, that you surrender to him, that you believe him, you believe what he speaks to you, glory to God, you believe the word of God, that is his spoken word captured on paper, then it's going to produce something. It's going to produce an action. See, sin produces an action too. It produces an evil work. So, faith without works is dead. Means that your faith is dead. Your faith in God is dead, is not alive, because you're not connected. You know, in the scripture about Jesus being the true vine, and he talks about if a branch is disconnected, it dries up and it you know, it loses life. It becomes dead, and it's only fit to be thrown on the fire and to be burned, right? So faith without works is dead is basically saying that my faith is not connected to God. I am not rooted and grounded in Him. I am not drawing my substance from God. I am not looking to Him as the source. Because when you are connected to God, when you are abiding in the vine, you will be fruitful. That's a promise. That's a promise. You will be fruitful. And your works will glorify God. Man will see your good works and glorify God. He won't glorify you. He will glorify God. If we stay in this performance Christianity mode, we can do works and still not have faith, still not be trusting in God, still not surrendering in God, that, and still not having our confidence in God, because our confidence is in ourselves. But we are performing and we are producing as a way to justify that we have faith in God, as opposed to the other way around. If I truly have faith in God, if I truly believe Him, believe what He says, if I trust Him and I'm surrendered to Him, then I am going to produce good works. Because they've been predestined. I've been predestined for good works. And when I stay connected to God, those good works come forth. And it's not the other way around. You can easily identify a performance-oriented environment. Because in it, because people are working through their flesh, you will find envy, strife, jealousy, backbiting, slander, gossip, etc. Because that's what a performance-based environment will give you. It is not of the Spirit. So what James is talking about is faith in God. In this verse, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So you could believe that there is one God, but are you trusting in Him? Are you surrendered in Him? Are you connected to Him? So faith in God is alive and it produces living works. It produces fruit. Praise God. Let us move away from this performance thing and move into life in Christ. Performance is just another form of bondage. It's something that the enemy came up with and he subtly slipped it into the church through this faith movement, because we've reversed the thing that works is the evidence that we have faith. That our works is the evidence that we have faith. And that's not necessarily so. especially if when we're performance-based, that is not necessarily so. We can do all the things, we can come up with all the plans and have all the agendas that look godlike. We can imitate what others are doing, the works that others are doing. But yet they're not being produced out of the source, which is God. And the enemy knows this, that we can be so busy and doing so much and yet have so little power and impact in the earth. But these lies in this season are being broken. They're being broken. And we, if you trace the history of the church, you will see that we go through these seasons that we have to reevaluate where the church is. And we need to hear what God is speaking to us through the Spirit of Truth. We have to allow that light to shine on us and produce what is not of Him. We need to be able to see that. We need to be able to move from glory to glory, not rest in yesterday's glory. Because just as with Moses, how he covered his face because the glory was fading, because it was a works thing. And so now we have to move into real life. I knew that when I took these notes that I probably would only begin the message on the power of love in this mind renewal series. But you know, when we look into the mirror, our spiritual mirror, which is Christ Jesus, we need to see love staring back at us. We need to see love staring back at us. We need to see a love that is beyond our understanding staring back at us. So our minds have to be renewed by this love that we are seeing. And when we look into the Word of God and we see in the New Testament, because we are no longer under the Old Testament, it was a shadow of what was to come. But now that it is here, we no longer have to live in the shadow, because now we have the light. And there's no shadow in the light. Glory to God. So as we look into the scriptures, we need to see that God so loved the world. So before he gave his son, he loved the world. He loved the world. And he sent his son for the remission of sin. He was a sacrificial lamb. So God had to see this sin that was in the earth. And the season The time had come. The time had come for his son to appear in the earth as that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, before the world was created. This plan was in action. And in the fullness of time, he appeared, hallelujah, born in a humble beginnings in a stable around animals. And the good news was proclaimed to shepherds who were in the field with their sheep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I was led to look at the famous love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm only going to read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll start pulling apart at it and looking at it. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Are we an annoying distraction in the world today? Because we're not expressing God's love toward them? If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, what do? When we look in this mirror, when we behold this mirror that says and shows us the reflection, this reflection of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that is what we should be transforming into, that kind of love. And it's interesting because it says, I can speak with the tongues of men and angels. With the tongues of men and of angels. It doesn't matter if it's the tongues of men or of angels. If there's no love, and I love in the Amplified how it goes on further to say, love for others growing out of God's love for me. We can't love people until we receive the fullness of God's love for us. That love that he demonstrated, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that love, while we were yet sinners. Do we look at the world, all of such sinners, look at this, they believe it. We say all of that, but is there love? Have we become just an annoying distraction to the world? A noisy gong, a clanging cymbal to the world. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Verse 2. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. We've allowed ourselves to be put on pedestals because we have a particular spiritual gift. We have a gift of prophecy, and we speak these messages from God, and you know, and we have this knowledge, and we have a faith that we are able to see miracles done. But if there's no love present, love, reaching out to others, it's nothing. I am nothing. Because God is love. And I am to express the image of love because I am created in His image. And if I have faith, belief, assurance, trust, humility and surrender to the Spirit of God, then I will express this love in my works, in the things that I do, in the fruit. My fruit will be love fruit. People will be able to eat and partake of it and not be made sick by it. Verse 3. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. It's interesting how far the flesh will go. The flesh will surrender its body to be burned. It'll be such a zealot that it's willing to surrender the body to be burned. It will give up all its possessions to feed the poor. And yet, do all of this without love. That's that performance Christianity. Because where there is no love, there's envying, there's jealousy, there's strife, there's backbiting. Because love is not present. And so when you're operating without it, it does no good at all. You may impress people, but it does no good at all. Has no eternal value. Because the good that God gives is eternal. Verse 4. Love endures with patience and serenity. God is not asking us to have patience and serenity. He has given us patience and serenity because it says in 1 Timothy that He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love. He has given us this. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to perform it. He freely gave it. When He freely gave His Son, He gave us a spirit of love. Verse 4, start over again. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. Did you see any of these characteristics displayed in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus? He was never envious. He was never jealous. He didn't brag. He wasn't proud, and he wasn't arrogant. But he was patient. He endured with patience and with serenity. He was kind and he was thoughtful. And he was rejected by his own people because they didn't like who he was being kind to. They didn't like who he was being patient with. He didn't fit in. He didn't fit in with the religion that had been established. And when we start expressing God's true love in the earth, we may not fit into the religious establishment. We're not. We're not going to fit in. Verse 5, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. Let me read that again. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. If you're having issues with that, those things, being rude and self-seeking and easily provoked, easily angered, you need to spend some more time looking into the mirror where the love of God is in Christ Jesus. You need to be consumed by this perfect love that casts out all fear. It's a perfect love. It's a perfect love that he has for you. It's a perfect love. And if you don't spend time allowing him to love you, receiving that forgiveness, I mean, fully receiving that forgiveness where there's no more shame and there's no more guilt and there's no more condemnation, you will continue to move in these negative thoughts and emotions, jealousy and envious, arrogant, proud, bragging, rude, self-seeking, easily provoked, overly sensitive and easily angered. Let him love you. Just let him love you. Let him love you. He took your sins, all your sins, before you were even born. Because none of us was here when he died on the cross. He took the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart were rolled away. It was there by faith I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, And now I am happy all the day. Amen, amen, amen. If I sounded a bit strong today, it's not because I'm judging or condemning, but I have a passion to see God's people free. Free of being led down a path of performance for something that was freely given to you. Something that you can lay hold of by faith. Just like with the initial salvation process. You didn't do anything. God drew you to himself. And you finally gave up and said, yes. Yes, I've made a complete mess of this. Yes, 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 come in and save me from myself. And if we stay on this performance track, we will continue to be led by people who are constantly telling us that we've got to perform this, we got to perform that, that this, because if we're righteous, then we got to do this, and we got to stand up for this, and we got to stand up for that, and we start to look at people as though they're enemies, when we are called to love our neighbors. Why are we afraid of our neighbors? Why are we afraid? Perfect love cast out all fear. Cast out all fear. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this hour that we've had, that you've spoken to us. You've definitely spoken into my heart. That I and my brothers and sisters, we just need more of you, more of you. We need to spend more time looking with an intensity of seeing who you are, allowing you to reveal yourself to us. Not holding on to past definitions. Not holding on to what we saw last year. But moving into a greater revelation of your love. And allowing that love to renew our thinking. That our thoughts will come out of the spirit of love. Where there is no envy, there is no strife, there is no jealousy. There is no rudeness. No easy to be angered. Easily provoked. It does not exist in your love. We thank you that you love us this way. I thank you, Lord God, that we will spend more time meditating on the scriptures that reveal just how great you love us, and just absorbing, taking it in. Allowing it to wash over us and through us. Overpower us. Hallelujah. You're good, God. You're a good God. You're a good God. And I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you have performed in us this day. Thank you. Thank you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are called according to your purpose. We are called according to your purpose. We surrender. We surrender. We surrender, Lord. Hallelujah. We bring our flesh under submission. Hallelujah. Let nothing exalt itself above the knowledge of God, above his love for us and for others. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, bless God. Bless God. Amen. So, tomorrow night, we've got Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Glory to God. Amen. And then on Sunday, 29th, we got the Bread of Life coming at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. Glory to God. So God bless you. God bless you, family. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Stay connected. Stay connected to the source. He is the true vine. Stay connected. Stay connected. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by your belief in him. Walk in your trust in him and your surrender to him. Knowing that you have nothing to fear because you've got his perfect love for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Amen. He loves you. I love you. God bless you. And hopefully we'll be back here next week continuing on this love thing because we need this love to renew our minds. We take in a lot of knowledge, but knowledge can fade away. But the love remains. The love of God remains. Amen. God bless you. Bye.
And I'll say yes to you.